All right. Well, it's July 9th, 2023. Beautiful Colorado, where we get a hailstorm almost every day. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But anyway, we on the 4th of July, a few days ago, Diane and I went out with some other believers, and we saw this wonderful movie called The Sound of Freedom. And I highly encourage everybody to get out and see it. And this movie was buried for a while. 21st Century Fox Studios was bought by Disney, and the great Disney people decided they wanted to bury it, and they didn't want people to see this. But basically, it exposes the human trafficking that's going on.
Child trafficking in particular.
Child trafficking in particular, yes. I want to read a quote by, there's an historian called Tom Holland. And he says, while studying the ancient world, Holland writes, he realized something. Simply, the ancients were cruel and their values were utterly foreign to him. Spartans routinely murdered imperfect children. The bodies of slaves were treated as outlets for the physical pleasure of those with power. Infanticide was common. The poor and weak had no rights. How did we get from there to here? It was Christianity. Holland writes, Christianity revolutionized sex and marriage, demanding that men control themselves, prohibiting all forms of rape. Christianity confined sexuality within monogamy. It is ironic, Holland notes, that these are now the very standards for which Christianity is derided. Christianity elevated women. In short, Christianity transformed the world. But we're living in a time when people are walking away from God. And it's okay to do you know, you can worship the tree in your backyard. You can worship Allah, you can worship Buddha, you can worship Confucius, anything. But if you worship the one true God and follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then everybody makes fun of you and there's something wrong with you. And Christians, we're often told, oh, we need to be nice. We're told we need to be loving. We need to be tolerant. We shouldn't judge people. Well, God has standards. And why don't you take your Bible and go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 13.
John 3:13.
And if you can't find it, you can just listen. This is a verse we've all heard before. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you. And there's also a verse in the Gospels which talks about, you know, the reason why the world hates us is because it hates God. And first they hated God, then they hated Jesus Christ. And because we follow God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, they hate us too. So we need to be, you know, they're telling us we need to be nice, and we can't rock the boat, we can't, it's all this stuff. So I'm saying let's be more like Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 8, Gospel of John. And, you know, Jesus Christ was probably the most tender man in the world, but he was probably the most strong man in the world, too. There's a book called A Man of Steel and Velvet. And John chapter 8, verse 44. And what did Jesus Christ say when people were giving him a hard time? He says, "You're of your father, the devil." He also called them whited sepulchers. You know, we don't go out of our way. We don't enjoy being mean. But there are times when we need to speak up and say something. Things need to be said. "You're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it." Well, that's basically where child trafficking comes from. And without the standard of the word, and without God, we become like animals. And we are just brutal and vicious. The purpose, you notice we have open borders. What's the purpose of the open borders? The purpose of the open borders is there's an evil industry of child trafficking that needs raw material, and that's where they get it from. They traffic millions in the millions of children. And I'm not talking 16-year-olds. I'm talking like 6, 7, 8-year-olds.
Well, there was a baby left on the border that was 1 year old. They took a baby across the border and just left it there. So it's even younger than even 6.
Yeah, it's hard for us to fathom the evil that's going on. But that's why our Democrats and our Republicans don't close the borders. The only person we had that wanted to close down the border was Trump. Every other politician was against, even the people in his own party fought him.
He also fought against human trafficking.
Yes, and he was the only president we have that actually would fight against that. The rest of these, our politicians make money off of this stuff. Wars, all the wars we have, like Sherry, your husband was in Vietnam. Vietnam was not, we didn't go to war in Vietnam to protect our security. It didn't protect the freedom of people in the United States. The war in Vietnam was money laundering. The war in Korea was money laundering.
Yeah.
The war in Ukraine is money laundering. Those wars we had in the Middle East, they didn't protect our
interests
at all. They were money laundering. And it was the president we had in the 50s, Eisenhower. He said in his final speech as president, he said, "Beware of the military-industrial complex." Then along came John Kennedy. He said, "Okay, we're getting out of Vietnam." A week later, he was dead. They assassinated him. His brother ran. His brother ran for president, and they killed him too. Excuse me. And I feel for our soldiers. Our soldiers go to war, and they come back, either they don't come back, or they come back damaged in different ways. And it's all for money laundering. Well, this human trafficking, it's money. There's more. When you sell cocaine, you can sell it once. If you have a child, they can sell that child several times a day, day after day after day. And that's what's going on. But see, God set up the family. God is a father. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that he could deliver us. He could be our savior. And he set up, you see in places in the Bible where, you know, God, you know, first you got God, then you got Jesus Christ, then you got the husband, then you got the wife and the children. And it's a whole protection, and it's set up for the benefit, it's beneficial for the human race to work in that type of environment. And then there's so much stuff going on. Like, we get these mass shootings. You keep seeing the mass shootings. You ever notice the mass shootings? Every single one of the mass shooters is on psychotropic drugs.
Yep.
And they want to outlaw guns. Well, why don't they just outlaw psychotropic drugs? And then those people that have guns wouldn't go around and they wouldn't go crazy and shoot up the place.
Because the pharmaceutical companies are part of the, they're part of
exactly.
The,
it's about love of money.
Money.
Yes.
That's right.
And okay, another thing they're pushing. It's about love of money. They're pushing the climate change. But you know how you know this stuff ain't real.
Oh.
You ever gone to the bank and tried to get a loan? You got to prove you can pay it back. You buy a house. You got to sign this document. They want you to put money down. They want to make sure that you have a job, and they want their money back. Do you think any bank in the world would give a 30 or 40 year mortgage for beachfront property in the United States if they thought the sea levels were rising, were going to go up 10 feet? There is no bank in the world that would give you that loan if they really thought that was going to happen. Then we had that amazingly prolific liar, Barack Hussein Obama. What's his real name? Barry Sotero is his real name. Barry Sotero was our president, and he was going on and on about, oh, we got global warming, we got to fix. Where did he move when he retired? He bought $13 million estate at Martha's Vineyard at sea level. If he really thought that the sea level was going to rise 10 feet, he would not have gone anywhere near that property. We're being lied to. We're being, and then what, this child traffic thing? We're being lied to. First of all, they deny it even exists. And then they won't, the news won't cover it. Also, another thing I saw recently, there was a gay pride march, I think it was in New York, and they were chanting, "We're queer, we're here, and we're coming for your children."
Oh, wow.
And they keep chanting that over and over again. And the end game of the homosexual movement has always been pedophilia. They want to molest little children. They want to make it legal to have sex with little children. That's always been the end game of the homosexual movement. But real men, Jesus Christ was a real man. We were talking with Sunshine before fellowship. I think she was just her and me, and we were talking about that movie, The Passion of the Christ. And she was talking about how that scene where he was beat to a pulp, she had a hard time watching that because what Jesus Christ went through, the amazingly brutal, vicious beating he took. But he did that so that we could be healed and that we could have, his blood was shed, that we could have eternal life. But real men protect women and children. Real men stand up to this human trafficking, and real women do too, and we're called to fight against this stuff. This trafficking is not of God, and we can't, you know, I love being nice, I love being loving, I love being tolerant, but there does come a time when the evil is so bad and so in your face, you have to speak up and say, no, humans trafficking, sex trafficking little children is wrong. In the movie, it's interesting. I didn't cry at all when I saw the movie, but now I'm crying when I'm teaching this stuff. In the movie, he says, I don't know if I can say it without crying.
Which one is that?
God's
children are not for sale.
Yes. Thank you. Here's another famous quote. It's attributed to somebody, but we're not sure where it really came from. And the quote says, "All that is required for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing."
And I'm going to interject for a minute. Quite often, when they do something so blatantly in your face, if people don't say no or stand against it, they look at that as approval. They say, oh, well, they didn't say we couldn't do it, so therefore they must think that it's okay. We consent when we don't resist.
So
in their minds.
It's enabling the inappropriate behavior, and that's absolutely where people stand still. You're right.
Yep. Okay, Luke chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to read it from the Living Bible, but you can follow along in King James. King James did not translate this well at all. And this translation's a better translation.
Which Luke was it, I'm sorry?
Luke 17:1. "There will always be temptations to sin," Jesus said one day to his disciples. "But woe unto the man who does the tempting. If he were thrown into a sea with a huge rock tied to his neck, it'd be far better off than facing punishment for those that harm these little children's souls."
Mm. Wow.
Leviticus, yep. Chapter 18.
I was going to say that verse was in the movie, too.
Yeah. Yes.
Leviticus
18. This whole chapter here is basically a whole series. In the Old Testament, God had his people. He had made a covenant with the children of Israel. And to keep them from getting into the evil, he basically set up a law, a whole series of commandments. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But in chapter 18, we're going to do three verses, 20, 21, and 22. And this is from the Amplified Bible, this translation. It'll be a little different in your King James. "Moreover, ye shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself." Basically, marriage is one man, one woman, and God. That's what marriage is. That's how God set it up. And we, you know, men are to discipline themselves. That's why ministers that are having sex with all sorts of women, they're not qualified to be a minister. According to Timothy, anyway. Verse 21, "You shall not give any of your children to pass through the fire and sacrifice them to Moloch." Moloch was the fire god in the Old Testament. Like, remember that song from the 60s? "I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire." Da 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 da. That song, you know, was basically the devil coming out and tell you who he is. Well, they had the god of hellfire in the Old Testament. It was Moloch, and people would sacrifice their children to Moloch. "Nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." In verse 22, "You shall not lie with man as with a woman. It is an abomination." Basically, it's homosexuality is an abomination. It was one of the commandments in the Old Testament. And but we're supposed to be tolerant and accept. Well, I'm sorry. If God says it's sin, it's sin. And if you're proud of your sin, then you better go talk to God. And, you know, you need to get right with God. You know, we all sin and come short, but when we're proud of our sin, then we're doubling down on our sin. And you know what? I'm not going to double down on my shortcomings. I'm going to double down on the Word of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, and this is from the Message. And chapter 18, verse 1. At about the same time, the disciples came to him and asking, said, who gets the highest rank in God's kingdom? Well, it does say in Timothy that you should avoid foolish and unlearned questions. This is a foolish and unlearned question. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you can answer them and give great pearls of wisdom. And here's the great pearl of wisdom. For an answer, Jesus called over a child, whom he stood in the middle of the room and said, I'm telling you, once and for all, that unless you return to square one and start over like children, you're not even going to get a look at the kingdom, let alone get in. Whoever becomes simple and elemental again, like this child, will rank high in God's kingdom. You know, we were in, a lot of us came from another ministry where we almost worshiped those research guys, the people that knew all the Greek words and the Aramaic words and the Pig Latin text and all that stuff. And what did Jesus say? We need to be simple and elemental again like this child. You know, most of the word, you don't need to know all. You don't have to have a PhD to understand it. You don't have to analyze 15 different texts. Sometimes you have to do that to unravel the web of deception the devil has put over the word. But once you pull back that web, it's very simple, and a child can understand it. What's more, when you receive the childlike on my account, it's the same as receiving me. Verse 6, but if any of you give them a hard time, bullying or taking advantage of their simple trust, you'll soon wish you hadn't. You'd be better off dropped in the middle of a lake with a millstone around your neck. Doomed to the world for giving these God-believing children a hard time. In other words, it ain't good to do that stuff, folks. Sex trafficking children is about the most evil thing that you could have on the face of the earth. Let's go to Luke 15. This is again from the Message. This is the this is the what we usually call the parable of the prodigal son. But a lot of us prefer calling it the forgiving father. And basically this outlines God wanted a family. God wanted children. He already had servants in the Old Testament, and that wasn't good enough. He didn't want servants. He wanted sons and daughters. He wanted people that would have that childlike innocence and look to God and say, Father, help me. And so he doesn't want us to, like, God doesn't want people that are going to be every day bowing down and worshiping, you know, and begging him for forgiveness, and I'm on my knees till they hurt. No, he wants sons that will stand before him in righteousness. That's what he wants. He wants people that will walk with him. Basically, it's really simple. God wants us to invite him into our lives. You get up in the morning, you think, okay, God, what are we going to do today? It's not like, oh, God, please don't punish me for my evil thoughts. Well, just don't think the evil thoughts. Think good thoughts. That's simple. Verse 11, and he said, there was once a man that had two sons. And the younger said to his father, I want what's coming to me. So the father divided the property between them. And it wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. And when gone through all his money, a bad famine came to the country, and he began to feel it. And he signed on with a citizen who assigned him to feed to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. He was pretty messed up. That brought him to his senses, and he said, all those farmhands working for my father's servants, he's talking about, sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned against God, and I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. You know what? We don't deserve what God's given us. We're not worthy. Christ made us worthy. All those, that terrible beating he took, that blood that was shed, he made us worthy. There's nothing we can do. Religion always wants you to earn it. They want you to do it. You know, that's really the end game of a lot of the worship services and a lot of religion and all that. They want you to earn it. You can't earn it. The only way you can earn it is to be put to death, and then you're dead and can't enjoy it. So we just take what God gives us. So anyway, he's saying, I've sinned before God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He thought he could just be a servant. And he got right up and went home to his father. And when he was still a long way off, see, this is a good parent. You know, our kids don't always do what we want. And sometimes they go out, let them go out and make a mistake, and sometimes they learn from mistakes. And it's hard for a parent to let that happen. You warn them, and somehow they might make a mistake anyway. But when they need help, we're there looking to help them before they even need it. And a long way off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out. He embraced him and kissed him. And the son started his speech. He had this pre-programmed speech. Father, I've sinned against God, sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son again. But the father, verse 22, wasn't even listening. He called his servants and said, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger. You know, he was able to do business in the name of the family again. And sandals on his feet. He gave him land, gave him an inheritance back. Get a prize-winning heifer and roast it. We're going to have a feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead, is now and now alive. See, children, you know, this son was an adult son, but little children, they can't deal with the evil that's in this world. They need to be protected. They need our help. They need godly men and women to stand against the evil and protect them. They need to be able to go in bed at night and not be afraid that the evil world's going to come and get them. And see, this son, now the father here is an analogy for our heavenly father. And see, what the greatest thing we can teach our children is we teach them to rely on God and have a relationship with the Father. That's the greatest thing. And then the older son got jealous and stuff like that. But anyway, I'll stop there in that record. Now I'm going to go to King James. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Bless you.
1 Corinthians 10, 11. Am I in the right thing here? I don't know. Oh, yeah. Now these things were happened to be examples. It was just talking about anyway, the verse I want to get to was verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, and God is faithful to all God, who will not suffer you to be tempted. Oh, jeez, I've got to read what's written here. I need my reading glasses, I think. I was reading a big print there, and I'm reading the little print now. It's harder to read. Let me start over. There is no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you or not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. It's funny, my niece, I was inviting her to fellowship, and she has to work on Sunday. And she was talking, I was asking her how her life was, and she was saying, oh, it's pretty good, but this thing happened that's kind of bothering me. She said, but you know what? She said, the Lord won't let anything happen to me that I'm not able to handle. And she was quoting this verse. God bless her. How'd she know that was in my teaching? And you won't be tempted. And he also, the last part of this verse, and he'll always make a way to accept that you may be able to bear it. God always makes a way out. And see, that's parents are here to help children and help make a way out. And when, you know, and we help people, and Jesus Christ was made a way out, and we can make a way out for other people. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm not going to read this whole thing here, but in Ephesians chapter 5, it lays out a little bit about the family. And specifically, like verse 25, it talks here about husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So, again, it was God, and then Christ, and then the husband, and then the wife, and then the children. And we all, it works together in a relationship, and we all, you know, we all take care of each other, and we protect each other. And it's a way that we can make the next generation and not just leave kids to be out on the street to fend for themselves, because they're not equipped to deal with that. James chapter 4. Hebrews, James. Chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The reason he has to flee is because we have the power of the name of Jesus Christ. That's why, but you know what? We have to resist. God worked a mighty work for us through Christ Jesus and what was accomplished. Jesus Christ did an amazing work, but we have to step up. You know, our burden is light. God and Jesus Christ did the heavy lifting, but we have to stand. We have to resist. So let's finish this up in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's always got something going on. You know, when one thing fails, he's got something else going on. Usually he's got, like, I did a teaching a while ago about the kingdom of chaos. And he's always got, he's got a whole series of things going on, and it's confusing and it's complex. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. See, I mean, I detest these crooked politicians like that evil Joe Biden, you know, walks around pooping his pants in his Depends and can't even read the teleprompter and complete a sentence. I mean, the guy's he's a blithering idiot, but he's always been an evil, dark man even before he became senile. And I detest people like that. And he has no right. He's not earned the position as president. He has no business being there, but he was installed by evil people. But he is not our enemy. It's not him. We don't wrestle against Joe Biden. We don't wrestle against Nancy Pelosi. We don't wrestle against the alphabet agencies that are doing black ops against their own citizens. We wrestle against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those people are just doing the bidding and serving Satan. They worship Satan and they will do his bidding. But we are, the real battle is Satan. There's a day coming where it talks in the book of Revelation where there's a lake of fire. And the lake of fire is not a place of eternal torture. The lake of fire is where they're going to be burned up and cease to exist. The promise of God is that evil will be destroyed and it will be burned in a fire, and that fire will leave nothing left of it. And it's interesting, there's going to be a time when we're gathered together with Christ, and then all the Old Testament believers will be raised in the resurrection of the just, and then there'll be a resurrection of the unjust, and everybody that's ever lived is going to get a chance to say yes or no to Jesus Christ. And there's people that will be raised from the dead and they're still going to reject it because they got dark hearts. And that's why that's how you can have child trafficking. That's how you can have a Joe Biden. They have dark hearts. But those dark hearts will be burned up in the lake of fire. And the people, some of the people that were evil will turn. The Apostle Paul had a dark heart. He turned from a black-hearted person to a person, an apostle of the one true God. I mean, he literally wrote the book I'm reading right now. So some people would be turned. That's why we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we have to stand and we have to say, no, human child trafficking is wrong. It's always wrong. Sex with children is always wrong. Children should be children. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Yes, this is an evil day. And having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. When we speak the word, it cuts the devil. It cuts him, it hurts him, it damages him. Every time we speak it, it backs him down. In verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto, and so on. But anyway, that's what I had to share today. And I'm believing this movie will wake people up and it'll turn people back to the one true God. Because our culture is, for years, has been going the wrong direction. People have been turning away from God. And we need to come back to the truth of the word. And not that I'm not pushing a big church, I'm not pushing big religion. Quite often they're got their own agenda and they've got some of the darkness weaved into their agenda. I'm pushing the simple truth. Like Jesus said, you need to be like these children. Come back to the simple truth of the word like these children. Then you can get into the kingdom of God. And that's what I wanted to share today. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, save this country. Save this untoward generation. Save people's hearts. Turn the dark hearts back to light. Bring people back to the word of God. Expose these evil deeds going on and shine a bright light on it all and expose it. Expose what's going on that people can turn their hearts back to the truth and turn away from evil. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.